In the underground pop world, which is better, bondage or humiliation?
Humiliation. Oh.
Discipline.
But what side is Steven on? Gotta wait. It's the Love and Relationships Hour.
Alright, this L&R Hour is powered by Click for Media Services. We kick ass. We have experience in ENG, EFP, and hardcore broadcasts. Even though some person has zero tolerance shit on my production in private, who I worked with for 3 years professionally, who thinks I'm a weirdo half the time. Sorry, payback might be, you know, payback's a bitch. I like to fuck karma. Karma's my favorite bitch I like to fuck. That's what side I'm on. Michael, you're on the weekly too. What say you?
Hey, dude, what's up?
Hey,
I'm going to try to clear your chats here, because I think you're, you know, I understand, I get it, you don't like commercial TV stations the way they run. I don't like watching the stations and stuff like that, but I don't want the feds knocking at your door for spreading hate about media.
Oh, don't worry about it, Michael. They're not going to watch my stuff. I stream like no one's
watching. I get it. For, and I know you've been on the Jordan Peterson kick. Have you heard about a chick named, well, she's a smoke. She's actually a cute girl, but what's her name off the top of my head?
Who?
Liz Plank. She's a feminist, but she's sympathetic to a guy like you, I think.
Really? Ooh, are you like my saving grace to the L&R Hour?
You should check her out.
Okay. Okay, Michael. Liz Plank. I did see her recently. Is it short for lizard or? All right. Let's. I seen her on, like, I watch news on my iPad. I don't watch the news live. I watch some CNBC, but oh, that would be interesting. Let me just punch her up. All right, is he on hold? Okay, how to be a man, a woman's guy, TEDx normal. Okay. I saw her recently. I have to go look her up, but yeah, ooh, there's a podcast. Yeah, she, okay, let's, so her name's Elizabeth Plank. Oh, there's a clip of her. Okay, see, he just feeds his stuff to me. Michael wants me, see, he just throws me to, he's like my bro, he's just redirecting me here. But again, I'm going to piss on WCID later. I saw her recently, but let me just play a sample here. It'd be kind of good to kind of get outside of my bubble tonight. And in case you guys are wondering, I'm dressed up because I'm, you know, I was at an engagement tonight, a Friendsgiving event.
New issues. Quality, of course, is a major priority for many of the candidates and has been a somewhat controversial issue under the Trump administration.
This was right before the 2020 election. Liz Plank explains appeal of Jordan Peterson.
In her new book, For the Love of Men, A New Vision.
Yes, I see. She was promoting this book in her backdrops on, I think it was Zerlina, on the Peacock, I think. I'm trying to remember which platform it was. Yes, For the Love of Men, A New Vision for Mindful Masculinity. Yeah, she was talking about Kyle Rittenhouse. Yeah, so Michael's seeing some good porn here. This is good porn, kids.
For Mindful Masculinity, journalist and author Liz Plank explores gender roles in our society and the inequality that still exists. And Liz joins me now to discuss the book and why she decided to write it. Great to see you, lady.
Great to
Congrats.
See you, too. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, so why now for this? Yeah. Can I just tell you a quick story? I remember back, maybe 2011, I was in a Fox News green room with Rick Santorum. And I was telling him about a project I was working on to help more women to get into politics. And he said, well, I'm worried about the men. And my reaction was like, what? Yeah. Like, it kind of grossed me out, honestly.
But now, she's talking over crystal ball, or just almost like Lindsay in La La Land or San Diego. She's got that California.
There's a good reason to be worried about the men.
Yeah, I think that when we hear people talking about men and men's issues, it's often, unfortunately, I think people like Tucker Carlson, people like Jordan Peterson, and maybe even Rick Santorum. I don't know what his argument was at the time. But there's this idea that, you know, there's a war against men, and it's the fault of feminism. It's the fault of, right, you're paying too much attention to what's happening to women. Men are suffering because of this. Men aren't suffering because of feminism. Men actually thrive under feminism, right? So I actually went to Iceland, the most feminist country in the world, for this book, and I went to save men because I had heard that feminism was so bad for them. They did not want to be saved. They like their parental leave. Okay. They like the welfare policies that come from gender equality. And so
I did a Google search. She is born 5 days later than me, March 19, 1987. She's 34 in Quebec. She is kind of cute looking, although in this one with Crystal Ball, and like I said before, if you guys are new to my show, I've not said nice things about Crystal Ball. She's got these weird glasses. Now, I'm not trying to get too much on the looks here, but, you know, I thought it was on the right. If you had, like, weird sunglasses, you were a creep, but I guess it's not just on the far right. You know how some right-leaning people weird shaded sunglasses. She's wearing glasses, but it's got like this weird tint. This was from 2 years ago. Let's just place. This is a 9-minute cut. We're not even a third in.
I really wanted to dispel this myth, right, that gender equality hurts men, or that gender equality is not something that men benefit from. Men actually have benefited in a number of ways that I, you know, talk about in the book about these conversations around gender equality. But I think that feminism needs to do a better job of really including men in the conversations that we have, so that we have a gender-neutral feminist movement that is unabashedly interested in everyone's well-being.
Yeah. So what do you make of the rise at this moment of like a Jordan?
This is the first time, and just for people tuning in, this is my reaction video to Liz Plank. I've seen her during the Kyle Rittenhouse commentary in the White Nationalist chat. This is more just on the general stuff, so this is a good thing for me to kind of react to. I don't know if this is the one that Michael told me to listen to, but let's just play it out. She's very rational. In a way, she's kind of like the John McCorder in this sense. And there's very few people out here. We might do some segments on her now. I'm sorry. I'm admiring her because she's got a brain here, and that's what we're looking for here in the zoo.
Peterson, yeah. And the version of masculinity that he sort of espouses and subscribes to.
After interviewing several men, I've been working on this book for 4 years and doing a lot of research and data. I'm not surprised by Jordan Peterson. I'm not surprised that there are just thousands and thousands of particularly young white men who are lining up to see his shows, who are lining up buying tickets that are up to $250 just to meet Jordan Peterson. Wow. Jordan Peterson is the biggest best-selling Canadian author, more than Malcolm Gladwell, more than Margaret Atwood. These are significant numbers. And there's a vacuum. There's really a lack of conversation around masculinity, to our original point that we were talking about. When it is talked about, it is owned in this, I think, negative way, in these unhealthy ideals of masculinity. Jordan Peterson tells men that they have to toughen up. He tells them he doesn't believe that trans people exist. He doesn't believe that trans people have a right to have their pronouns used. You can research and look at all of this. If we don't have a positive conversation around masculinity...
She's originally from Quebec, a Canadian journalist. And like I said, this is from what I've seen of her. Like I said, I've seen some stuff on some of the streaming people. She is pretty rational. You wouldn't know she's a feminist, because right now I can't share you, because I'm playing this on a different computer. But she looks like a hippie in this one with Crystal Ball. aka Sagar's. Sagar's not on the set for whatever reason. Maybe he played hooky. But she looks a lot different now. She doesn't look like, I mean, she's liberal, but not the hippie. So what I mean by this is that she's got substance, which is missing. I'm trying to be careful here, not be too subjective and make me look like a sexist, but let's try to play this with caution.
Where progressives and feminists acknowledge that it can be hard to grow up as a man in a society where the definition of masculinity and the definition of manhood has changed a lot, and that we don't have a space for those conversations, then those young men, unfortunately, are going to go to these sites, they're going to go to the alt-right, they're going to go to Jordan Peterson in order to feel seen and to feel heard. And many of them are also voting for Donald Trump because Donald Trump is saying a lot of things, but what he's saying when he's speaking is, I hear you and I see you. Even though you're a white man and that's become a slur in our society, I understand your pain and I'm going to solve it. If he's actually solving it, that's another conversation.
Right. But the first thing is to feel like someone doesn't have contempt for you.
Yes, exactly. And that you matter.
Right. It's so interesting because this is something that
I would make a conjecture with Liz, or is she Liz or Elizabeth? I gotta read the book. But she, I think part of the reason she listens more than Jordy, she's understanding, she's sympathetic to the jack-offs, but not saying it's right. She's being constructed to the feminists in the Kai's moment. Let's just put it that way.
That I think is one of the fundamental underlying dynamics of the Trump era is this sort of like searching for what masculinity, this crisis of masculinity in the modern era. And I've also felt like we don't really have the language to talk about it. We have some of the language to talk about racism and racial bias and implicit bias. Like, we have some of that language fleshed out, but I'm not sure that we really have had the architecture and the framework to talk about what's going on with
men. Yeah, and what you just said is so important, right? We, in the conversation around racial justice, we've acknowledged that there are acts of conscious bias, so many, right? And people who are racist and want to be racist and are doing it on purpose. There's also unconscious bias, right? These ways that people might have a good intention, but they're actions are not in line with those intentions.
Yeah, which because frankly, all of us fall into
all
in
of
certain
us,
ways,
right?
But as hard as we may try otherwise.
Yes, so Renee Myers, who's an amazing woman who has given several TED Talks, she's the head of diversity at Netflix now, she says, if you have a brain, you have bias. And so we're starting to recognize and create, again, a space where people can be forgiven and people can be educated and where they can come in and make mistakes. And we need to have that same kind of space when we have conversations around gender where we recognize that this is a post-Me Too era, that there is a plan for men like Harvey Weinstein, and it's called prison. But what's the plan for men like Joe Biden? What's the plan for men who might want to adapt to new norms and new rules, but are failing in their sort of journey? And how can we help them rather than just shame them?
Right.
And I'm not saying, you know, anyone can feel the way that they want to about Joe Biden, but we need to have a space where we create a path to redemption, where we have empathy for how difficult it can be for a lot of norms to be changing in our society, and not assume the worst in men, but assume the best in men.
Cancellation can't be the only answer.
No.
There's has
call
to be
in feminism, not call out feminism.
Like, I don't want to be judged by that stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, because we're all going to screw up at some point.
Yes.
And that's not to say that there aren't people who do deserve to be basically out of place society.
Absolutely.
Who don't deserve to have that talk show, who don't deserve to have that Supreme Court justice seat.
Yeah.
But there has to be an answer other than just cancellation. What has the response been from other feminists? Have you received pushback for a focus, an explicit focus on men?
I have, and I understand where that's coming from because I had the same sort of proclivities, really. I had the same, I think, behavior when I would see people talk about men and say, what about men? I would respond, well, everything's about men. Why do we have to talk about men? And again, through the reporting and the research and the conversations that I've had with men and women, I've realized that was not right. And actually that was pushing away people that we really need to be part of our movement and who are being served by our movement. And, you know, I say this all the time. I think Trump is throwing a way better party than us for men, right? He is making it fun and celebratory. And you can come in, whatever you say, whatever you do.
We don't care.
We don't care. We see you. And we our policies are better, and by our, I mean progressive policies, yeah. are better for men. They, you know, when we talk about Medicare, when we talk about gun safety, there's a suicide epidemic in this country, and the vast majority of people who are dying from it are men. So I visited the state of Montana, where, you know, there's really, really skyrocketing suicide rates there. It's the second highest rate of suicide after Wyoming, and 80% of the people who die from suicide are men.
Yeah.
And there's a direct correlation with if a gun is available and accessible, you are far more likely to act on impulse and then to die from suicide, even though women are more likely to actually attempt suicide because men have access to these more violent means. It really just is killing men. And that's just one little part of this. We have to talk about how our policies benefit women, benefit people of color. They also benefit white men.
Yeah. I think there's a class piece as well,
yes.
because it's easy to look at, you know, wealthy, successful white men and think that that's everyone. But there's mm-hmm. also a lot of class bias in this country that goes unnoticed and I think plays into some of these dynamics as well.
Absolutely. And you've always talked about class. Class is so incredibly important in all of these conversations. And it really reminds me of, you know, the patriarchy is a pyramid scheme, right? That the patriarchy benefits and rewards a man, certain men, right? This 1%
right.
actually of men. It really is a class conversation about this hierarchy. We often talk about the hierarchy where, you know, we assume men are on top, white people are on top, and women, people of color, trans people, non-gender binary people. But there's also a hierarchy just within men. And that's the male code. That's the thing that is kind of like Fight Club when I would talk to men, that being a man, the number one rule was that you didn't talk about it, that you didn't acknowledge the way that, yes, there's violence and there's policing of men towards women. There's also a lot of that from man to man.
Yeah.
And a lot of men are being told that they're going to be rewarded when they act in a certain way that's aggressive, that's, you know, all of the sort of hyper-masculine ways that we assume in our society. But the men who really benefit from that are white, straight, cis, rich, right? Donald Trump became president. What happened to Sean Spicer?
Right.
And, you know, Sean Spicer is still probably in that 1%, but he ended up on Dancing with the Stars,
being
right?
ritually humiliated on Dancing with the Stars.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think that's the trick of Donald Trump. I think that's the trick of a lot of
people throughout the history of
the Stars. Wow. Because he was just on Bill Maher 2 weeks ago. Or 3 weeks ago. They made a joke of it. I think it's been that long ago. Look, I know it's been a long 2 years. Tell me about it. I'm glad I'm surprised I'm still alive despite all this hell going on here. Ugh.
This country is
getting essentially poor white people, poor
yes.
white men
yeah.
to support the agenda
yeah.
of their race or their gender
yeah.
rather than
yeah.
sort of sticking with their class.
Right.
Because if that happened, then they would be unstoppable.
Absolutely.
The book is great. It's
Thank
important.
You. Thank you so much.
You know,
much.
I love you and I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, Crystal.
Thank you, Liz.
Thanks.
Well, I'm more rising.
Is this in the iBook store? I might want to get the book, but I don't want to, because like I've seen it, her pipping her book in the backdrop. She had a bunch of books in the background. But the point with Liz Plank is that she is listening to guys, but she's, you have to be hard, right? And she's understanding, and this is the stuff we talked about when we would throw Courtney Ryan in you know, throwing her cuts, or Jordy. I mean, Jordy's, that's what we call him now, not to be confused with Jordy on TNG on Star Trek, but Jordy is kind of a problem, and his approach is just go on the aggressive to masculinity. But notice how she uses the gender pronouns. She's not pushing you to be a man. She's saying it as an identifier. There's a complete difference. I mean, like I said, I've only heard a little of her. I know her to a little bit, but not the way that I know Jordan Peterson. I mean, Jordan Peterson makes you want to puke and make you wonder what the fuck. Here's a Bloomberg. I'm just going to say Bloomberg. It says quick take, but I'm not sure if that's quick take. So let me just play this cut before I get through in the end here. I might actually do segments on Liz Plank the way that she... I don't think she's got any intellectual skeletons in her closet. I mean, she's certainly not coming off as an aggressor like Courtney Ryan or the Roommates or Jordan Peterson. Those three people alone are dangerous.
Hi, I'm Liz Plank, and I love men. So I wrote a book about them, and I'm here to talk to them in Washington Square Park. Come along for the ride.
She said that right out in the bat. That should give you a signal right there. Yeah, let's play it.
All right, Josh, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Three, two, one. What's your favorite thing about being a guy or being a man?
My hair, I can be bald and it's not anything wrong with it.
I mean, I guess it's pretty nice to, you know, have the privilege that comes with being a white male. And I'm not necessarily ashamed of it because I feel like the power that I have been given just by, you know, what I was born being allows me to have influence, which is cool because I'm a good person and I like to make the world.
The guy, again, you're watching this, you're listening because I can't patch right now, but the guy looks like a beta male. He's got a scruffy face, and yeah, that's kind of interesting. Just play around here.
World a better place.
Yeah, so using that privilege is kind of a privilege.
Yeah, when it's used for good things and it's used to spread love, then it's awesome.
What's hard about being a man?
What's hard about it? I don't know.
It's the expectations to always, like, make the first move or to pick up the tab in some cases.
There's differences between being a straight black man and a gay black man and where those lines divide and where someone, you know, when I go into a place, you know, I'm not super masculine, and so I do worry about, oh, if we're going into this bar or if I'm walking with my friend, I have my hand wrapped around him. Am I going to get caught a slur, like a name? Are people going to, like, jump us? Or are they going to yell something out? And so that's where I've had that always growing up. The lines of how you have to be in two societies, the black society, the gay society, and then, like, the world society, and how you navigate all of that. Yeah, deep breath.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
And, like, figuring out who you need to be in each space.
Yeah.
Or how different you have to act.
Yeah, it's really hard.
So do you remember a toy that you wanted to play with as a little boy that you were told you weren't allowed to play with?
I think an Easy Bake Oven, probably, back when I was a kid.
A jewelry? Totally.
Oh, man, I used to cross-dress when I was a kid. Yeah, there's pictures of me, like, with this horrible wig and, like, my grandma's bra and grapefruits in
amazing.
It. And, like, yeah, my dad has it as a screensaver on his computer.
Maybe like a Cabbage Patch Kid or something that like my cousin left in the house or something.
She left her Cabbage Patch Kid.
Yeah,
and
you believe that? That's like
bad parenting.
Yeah, totally.
So you found it and you kind of wanted to play with it.
Yeah.
And then were you told you can't play with that?
Or? My brother goes like, "What are you doing? That's a girl's toy." And I was like, "Yeah, so what? It's a toy."
I mean, aside from Barbies.
No, as far as like a gendered toy, I don't think there was anything. I definitely wanted to be like my mom when I was little, so I'd like paint my nails like pearlescent pink. Yeah, that was awesome.
And no one said that's for girls or no one.
Oh, they definitely did, but I was just.
So, there's an interesting thing because these are the men that Jordan Peterson can't stand. The guy from The Roommates, and particularly Courtney Ryan, would not tolerate these guys. See, you need to have the hippie to listen to the beta males. And I've said this a gazillion times. Beta males are not bad. You have to listen to them. Because they're going to tell you their insecurities better than an alpha male. And if you're listening to this, you're probably, yeah, we gotta thank Michael for calling us in, bringing up name dropping her on our phone right here. Let's just play it again.
It's like, whatever, dude. Like, I got pink nails and you don't. Like, this
a good tight argument.
But it was too, like, girl.
And this, like I said, I'm sorry, but she's very feminine, mind you. But again, you know, dark hair, brown eyes are not, it's not the American beauty either. So what am I to say?
It was feminine. Like, that was not what boys did. So I got a Tonka truck.
What?
A Tonka truck.
What's
like
that?
The dump truck.
A dump truck? What do you do?
Truck. She doesn't know a Tonka truck. I got a bunch of tacos in my garage, my folks' garage. Well, she's from Canada. What am I to say?
Do that. Put all the Barbies in there.
I put the Barbies.
Do you remember ever being called weak? One of those days.
Yeah.
When? Do you remember?
This morning at work, trying to move something heavy.
No.
Yeah.
They called you weak?
Yeah.
Look at you.
I know.
I shook your hand. You're not weak.
I know.
I'm afraid of what those
stuff's very heavy,
can do.
Though.
Okay, that stuff was really heavy. And so what would they say? They laugh at you? What do? When they call you weak?
They said, you know, put a little back into it. Let's go.
Uh-huh.
You know, man
back
up.
Into it. Oh, man up.
Yeah.
Do they really say that?
Yeah, I say that too to guys.
You do?
Yeah. It's a tough business.
Do you think that we need to talk more about masculinity? Do you think that when we talk about gender, it sort of is equivocal with women and we need to talk more about these issues?
I mean, yeah. I think that gender is a binary experience, like we talked about. And I think on the other side of femininity is masculinity. And also masculinity is what actively oppresses everything. I think that masculinity is like kind of the root of all evil, damn near. For a lot of different identities and for a lot of different navigation of just like spaces. So I think that masculinity totally 1000% needs to be talked about and really dissected.
Do you think that we talk enough about fatherhood? That we sort of give as many opportunities to men as possible to be good fathers?
I don't think it is, but I think it's just as relevant. I think you have to be there. You should be there.
Do you ever think about what he wants to be in the world? Do you ever think about that when you're raising your boy, about what kind of influences are coming his way and how some of the messages that are out there for boys, some of them might be good and some of them might be more difficult?
Of course you would. Of course you think about it as a parent. I think any parent would think about all that stuff. You worry about the influences that they see. Maybe they don't coincide with the way you were raised or how you feel, or maybe what you've become in life. Definitely, I'm concerned about some stuff I see in the world that, you know, I don't want him to, be influenced by.
Did you want to spend more time with your dad?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad passed 10 years ago. I would take you all out if I could have 5 minutes with him right here. No questions asked.
What would you tell him?
That I love him, that I miss him,
yeah.
That I wish he saw his grandson.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it. I would shake his hand, hug him, kiss him, okay. And let him go.
Okay, when is the last time?
Alright, so when's the last time I said I love you, but there's a commercial on, speak about 11:30, Bloomberg, right? It's kind of good. It's full circle tonight. Do they still call PBR 11:30?
I told my best friend Charlie that I loved him.
And did you always feel safe saying I love you to other men, or do you feel like you could say I love?
This is a good point. Because are you what Joey on the Fake 87 in North Carolina would say if you say I love you to a straight guy? Are you a soy boy? God, you know? Did you? Oh God, I'm gonna open up the hate.
Last time
next week's show, if I
that you told another man that you loved him.
This morning I told my best friend Charlie that I loved him.
And did you always feel safe saying I love you to other men, or do you feel like you could say I love you to any guy who's your friend or any guy on the street, or would you?
I do now. Yeah. I think there was a certain stigma around that for years before we got to 2019. I think I love you was seen as like gay, like men just didn't say it to one another. I know. I also think I feel permission. I didn't feel, what am I saying to you? Like, I didn't feel comfortable saying.
You didn't feel like you had permission to say
I didn't
say
feel like I had
you.
Permission to say I love you, because there was this masculinity that he had that I didn't, and I was afraid. I think I was afraid of piercing that, and so I knew I could say it with my mother because I felt comfortable. I felt that genuineness, I love you, but I did not feel that with my father. Comfortable. I was going to say safe, but vulnerable. I didn't feel vulnerable.
Do you remember the last time you told another man that you loved him?
Oh, all the time. I love my bandmates. Yeah, I tell them all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you yell it to them right now?
I love you guys.
Ooh. Okay. I don't really. Okay. Well, I tell my family that I love that. I'm like, I don't really like romance because I'm just very, very picky. I'm very, very picky.
They left me. They don't love
me. He just gave you the finger. But then a peace sign. So I feel like you guys are good.
All right. Probably this morning.
Oh, you're the one who gave the finger or the peace sign?
The peace
sign. Benji, well, there you go. That was like, I love you, man.
I tell all my friends I love them all the time.
That's great.
Yeah. Love is not to, love is love, dude. Like, it doesn't matter what kind of love it is either. You gotta tell people you love them.
So at the end of all of our conversations, I asked the men how they were feeling after we talked. And I wanted it to remain private, so I let them write it down, and I didn't see it, and I'm gonna read them now. So the first one says anxious, slightly confused. I'm feeling grateful for the opportunity to express my thoughts, feelings, and emotions. Aww. Emotionally available. Encouraged. Encouraged. That's what it's all about.
So I think it's safe to assume that you have a, I don't know if she's a liberal. I haven't done enough research yet. But let's just, for all intents and purposes, say that she is a philosophical person that doesn't have a prejudice. Because let me tell you, if you listen to Jordan Peterson, it's very obvious that he has a blatant ableist agenda. Because let me tell you, on our Wikipedia entry, I have not been able to verify this because this is live. The thrill of doing things on the fly here. Liz Plank grew up in Montreal. She worked as a community counselor for people with developmental disabilities while attending McGill University, which I think is in Quebec, majoring in women's studies and international development. You heard that right. Individuals people with developmental disabilities. So we've said this here on the Zoom here, and I've talked about this on the basis of LNR. I'm afraid of saying it. I don't know why I'm afraid of saying it all of a sudden. The autistic condition. Okay, that's a stigma in itself. Because I've said this before. It's mostly a mental disorder because it's statistically, letting the statistics be a justification, right? And the far-left feminist, left than Liz Plank, apparently. Not to say that she's left herself, but they put these people in a box. Meaning that people like I may have to be really obedient. We can't even be slightly assertive. Whilst Jordan Peterson had... I don't have the clip right here on my board, but if you tune to some of my other episodes where he basically attacked the logic of Temple Grandin, and I meant to do this, and maybe next week I'll counter it with some Jordy stuff, because he says some really crude stuff about people with boys with ADHD. It's not in my... I haven't recorded it in the system, Annie. It was an episode where he was on a speakerphone, like a Cisco speakerphone. I'll play that next week, because it was brutal. And I don't say ableism that liberally, except for the people that are blatantly ableist. And Peterson is a blatant ableist. So I'd like to know more about her. I'm gonna do some research on her. But these two clips kind of... I hope there's no skeletons in her closet. But I think there is a... You have to go in with a different mind. You can't be trashing guys. She's not trashing guys. And I think there's a difference going with the beta males than the alpha males. This is her YouTube channel, so this is like, I think this is her channel. She's on MS, this probably was right after the 2016 election. I'll just play this 5 minutes.
Number of women who say they were sexually abused or harassed.
Oh, this was after the Harvey Weinstein. But still, this was on.
That Weinstein made sexual advances toward her on two occasions. She accuses him of making a suggestive comment during the Venice Film Festival more than a decade ago. She says she laughed it off. And years later, she says Weinstein tried to get her to come to his hotel room, making her feel, quote, completely powerless. There are now 55 women accusing Weinstein, the allegations ranging from sexual misconduct to rape. Weinstein's attorney says in a statement, any allegations of non-consensual sex are unequivocally denied by Mr. Weinstein. Yesterday, the board of Weinstein's company ratified its decision to terminate him. Women reads in part, I had a dream to go to the Olympics and the things that I had.
I'm a killer, Maroney. So these kind of are, the headlines have been repeating, but this is from when the initial print on them. Let's play. Let's get to Liz Plank here. Because this is Chris Chansing opening it up.
Plank, executive producer of Vox Media podcast, Divided States of Women. Oprah Winfrey, I hardly know where to begin. Oprah Winfrey says this is a turning point.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it is?
I hope it is, and I think it will be a turning point if we see men speaking about this issue. I think one of the differences with the Harvey Weinstein case is that, as you said, 55 women, multiple women have been coming forward, and the hashtag MeToo, which was actually started by Trumbark 10 years ago, I mean, she started this campaign, and it's helped women speak out, is so important. But the board is also important. The board terminating him and men deciding that this kind of behavior is not acceptable in their companies, and just as part of their gender, that they're taking responsibility and holding men accountable. I hope that's the watershed moment, because that's actually going to be preventing further cases of sexual assault, because men are responsible.
Yeah, and I hope that that's what people take away from this, that it's not okay, as opposed to something that someone might do, arguably, to protect their own company or whatever it is. You responded saying that you were sexually harassed, that you were groped, that you were physically and verbally attacked. And you started your own hashtag, him though. Tell us why, what it means.
I was so, you know, in awe of the women who used Me Too to share their stories. And that, as I'm sure for you, that was my entire feed. And I was so proud of those women for coming forward. But I'm also sick of having to I'm sick of having to tell my story, and I'm sick of women having to tell their stories in order to be believed. It's actually pretty ludicrous that we call men's violence against women a women's issue. And it actually speaks volume to who we hold accountable and responsible to stop that violence. And it affects the resources that go into the issue. There's a Department of Justice study that showed that only 8% of the resources that go to rape prevention are going to men. That is not going to help solve this problem if we do not hold men accountable for what they are doing, and if men do not hold themselves accountable as well.
So what do you see happening next? Because clearly, you know, things do change in terms of social mores. Mm. People do start to feel empowered. Mm. Maybe more women will feel that they can stand up and step up. It doesn't necessarily change the fact that if you're a young 22-year-old, you don't have to be in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
You can be anywhere, right, working for a powerful person, mm-hmm, and find yourself in this situation. Is it something Congress needs to be looking at? Are the laws not strong enough? Are they not enforced enough? Does every boardroom in America need to sit down and say, do we know that this is not going to happen in our company? Because if it does, there will be consequences.
Right. Absolutely. And look, the vast majority of rapists and men who abuse women do not spend a minute or a second in jail. And that's a problem with our justice system and our criminal system, and rape kits sitting on shelves, police departments not believing women or taking them seriously. We've all heard these stories. But look, absolutely. This needs to be something that everyone takes responsibility for. Every parent has a conversation with their daughter, right? We've all had that conversation about how to watch out for rape and how to prevent sexual assault and sexual harassment. Why aren't we having that conversation with our sons? We need to have that conversation with our sons.
You ask a critical question, Liz Plank.
Thank you.
And thanks to the parents who already are having that conversation.
Right, so that's all we have. I'm going to wrap it up soon here. She seems to be, I kind of have a little bit I have some respect for her, just the way she approaches from substance. We're not talking about style here. The problem is her style is so bland from another person looking in that's So it's rather interesting. We might do this, but like I said, I gotta do the Jordy episode where on ADHD, because that was something I've been I just have not had the chance to sit down and ingest and oops, I may have inadvertently hit a link here. It's a live show here. So that's all I have for tonight. Oh, and just then, I just want to wrap this up. Chris Cuomo has been suspended by CNN. Why? Because Jeff Zucker, Mr. Corporate Whore for Time Warner, doesn't care if CNN is third place. All he cares about is if he makes money. And that's the problem. All right, I'm just gonna save this for a moment here. Let me just read this headline. Okay, I was just talking about this to my folks tonight. Variety's reporting that CNN has suspended Chris Cuomo indefinitely. Is this offline? It might be just because I'm on my Mac right now. The New York Attorney General's office has released transcripts on exhibits on Monday that shed new light to Chris Cuomo's involvement in his brother's defense. CNN said in a statement adding the documents raised serious questions. So this basically meant that brother Cuomo to Governor Cuomo, he's texting him on how to basically deflect his sex scandal. I've been talking tonight because, like I said, my engagement at 6 o'clock, so I've been talking off the wall here. But men are not held accountable for their fucking actions. Okay, I want to be really clear with this, that I cringe when I was watching the live shots in Albany during the COVID, because that Melissa lady, his executive, or I forget, they're 6 feet apart. I'm like, that Melissa's a little cute. I don't want to say this, but my brain was already on the sinister path, like, this isn't right. And then when Fredo and the governor were on their split shots, him and Albany, and Chris was either home or in, I cringe, okay? I don't like being angry at the media. I'm angry at Channel 9 and WMUR TV for documented reasons. You saw the URLs tonight, okay? They do a horrible job in local journalism. It's deplorable. But CNN, this is I, on the ride home, my mom was bringing up Ted Turner because, like, my grandma's wondering if Ted Turner's still on CNN. He didn't, because he doesn't. Because when he sold Turner Broadcasting to Time Warner in the mid-90s, it then got sold to AOL. AOL spun off Time Warner. Time Warner got bought by, Warner got spun off, right? Is it Warner Media? I don't even remember. So when all those different owners got handed the Turner division, Ted Turner lost control. Because 20 years ago to this day, Ted Turner had he was hands-on in Atlanta at the CNN Center. He did it as time went on because his ownership / management kind of went away. I mean, if CNN had leaned left, I mean, it's better than it being completely tilted. I mean, it's not like you're going to get the most fairest story. And not to mention, that's a whole other discussion for another day. I'd love to talk about CNN and how that infrastructure in our country has been depleted for reasons not just liberal bias. I don't like Chris Cuomo, his brother. I didn't like it when he was on last April of 2020. It was not appropriate. And any conflicts, you either have to disclose it or what. And I don't care. On one side, I've been critical on Fox. I'm just as critical as CNN. I'm hurt that CNN is where it is, because, you know, it was built with blood, sweat, and tears for years. Is Lou Waters still alive? Where's Darren, what's her name, Kagan, who was the dark, short, dark-haired lady, she was on with Bill Hemmer. I remember Bill Hemmer in Atlanta, okay, before he went nutty on the Fox News channel. Okay, so, you know, I'm old enough to have seen the media fall apart, and it's tragic as an institution, because now everyone's pissing on the media. I don't like this. I don't like this anger. I'm not trying to express anger on CNN. It's just, it's like they're waiting till how many months? When did Cuomo get caught? Was it the springtime? Because I don't even remember anymore. And it's just everything's just a blur. And it's like, how the hell can you get away with texting your brother up at 100-something miles north? Because, you know, I know Cuomo comes down and staying upstate, but still, just to text him, you know, get him out of a jam like this. This isn't the Times, Picayune, and a columnist. Okay, this is a major cable channel that has since relocated northeast, because the CNN center is just a newsroom with a broken newsroom, because Jeff Zucker destroyed it. And it was obviously, I mean, I'm surprised he still has a job. That's my outrage. And it's just sad. It's just sad. All right, some of my links are might have been inadvertently posted from my internal YouTube because I made some mistakes. So forgive me on that. I threw a lot of links tonight, shall we? We did a huge we did a lot of work tonight to hold local media accountable, because local media, particularly here in the Manchester market, New Hampshire, Boston, we shouldn't be selling for less. And then, like I said, I'll get some more Liz Plank stuff queued up in the notes. I'm trying to do a better job at organizing stuff, because, you know, I can't do anything right. Right, Joey? On the fake 87, I can't do anything right. Like, I'm trying to tell you the facts on the show. So, alright, we're done for the night here, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. I was going to do this the 7, but I didn't get home till 8 o'clock, so we're going to do a 7 Eastern show, just to see what kind of audience we get. I know, I'm not, I admit, 5 megabits of hate every show, don't I, lately. So, I mean, again, I've been pretty pissy the last few days. Just feeling like a useful idiot. We're going to wrap it up, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Oh, and by the way, just an FYI, in case you didn't watch me on Twitch, I am doing a weekly Zoo in a Lab, which means I'm kind of mixing some of my technology interests through Twitch. And my God, is the coding kick-ass. It's like analog TV. There's no delay. It's like I can literally watch myself rather than having to go on OBS watch everything. It's really kicks ass. That was my first dream. Like, Holy crap, this thing kicks ass. So, anyhow, that's the end of the show tonight. Have a great week. We'll do some vlogs and stuff like that in the future. Next week, I'll try to make an episode just for you, Jordy, you ableist piece of crap, and stuff like that. All right, have a great night, everybody. Bye.